Gentlemen, to another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week. That's Monday through Friday in the United States from 3 till 5 Pacific, 5 till 7 Central, 6 till 8 Eastern, and across the Atlantic is 11 p.m. till 1 a.m. Greenwich Mean Time in the New Zealand, 10 a.m. through midday. There's a lot of time zones I've got to keep in my head in order to do this show, isn't it? Yeah, and of course, at the end of this month, when daylight savings kicks in for, I think it'll either kick in for New Zealand first, I think, we'll be going to 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., and then daylight savings kicks in again for the United States on November the 4th, and then it will be midday till 2 p.m., which will be good, because I'll be able to stay up late editing, catching up on huge quantities of scumbaggery that I need to expose, but I haven't been able to because I have to get up earlier enough to do the show. All right, now, today, we have a very special show for you and a very special guest. His name's Stu Webb, a victim, but also a fighter of the Bush crime family and the very nasty, incredibly satanic, cruel, and, well, practically alien to all humankind, Illuminati. Stu, welcome to the program. Stu, were you there? I can't hear you. You must have your mic muted or something.
I apologize. I did have. Benny, thank you for having me. It's my honor to be on with you. And I did bring a co-guest with me. If you check your number, a 952 extension there.
Oh, okay.
We have a Dr. Preston James also that's a columnist for Veterans Today.
And okie
dokie. A psychologist and an expert on the Illuminati as well. And he's done a massive series of stories on Veterans Today, so I thought we'd bring him on for the first hour. He's happy to be on with us for at least an hour today.
Okay. Is he on phone or on Skype?
He's on phone there on the 952 exchange. Do you see it?
Oh, so he's already called into the call-in line, is he?
Yes.
Okay. Hold on a second. Let's just see if I can get that caller line up here.
He's an expert in this as well, and since we're going to be talking about the Illuminati, I thought it would be wise to bring him on.
Okay, let's get that sorted. Where's my conference room? There it is. Sorry about this, ladies and gentlemen. I was kind of in a bit of a rush this morning.
Well, you find him. I'm going to get a little bit more light in here.
Yes. There we go. And he's unmuted. Okay, Doctor, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
All right. What was your name again?
Yes, Preston James.
Preston James. All right. And how did you find out about the Illuminati?
Oh, I suppose it goes back many years ago to clients that I had that came in that were involved in the intelligence business that had told me of the, they didn't call them the Illuminati. They called them occult-linked organizations and said it was a worldwide network related to the money changers and that they had weird religious beliefs and many of them did weird seances and human sacrifice and things. Of course, the first time you hear that, it's very incredulous. It's hard to process. But in the business that I was in, it wasn't my job to criticize people or try to challenge their stories. It's just help them deal with the problems they have. But when you start hearing it a number of times over the years, and then you work with individuals that are harmed by these people, then after a while it starts sinking in. You find out that there is such an organization, that it has an invisible part to it, which is the secret occult organizations that are worldwide, these what they call the Masons, the Super Masons, the OTO. Most of the Masons know nothing, but when they get to the higher levels, they bring them into blood sacrifice groups like the OTO and other groups that are all related to various high-level organizations. And, of course, anybody that really studies this finds out that you have the secret part and then you have the visible part. And the visible part really is what we have in Congress in the United States today. We have a gangster government that Congress has been compromised, taken over, and congressmen are blackmailed and what I called re-socialized to be under the control of these people. So it's much easier to see the handiwork of these people than it actually is to study them in person. Now, of course, the first person to really tangle with them and expose them publicly, of course, as you know, is Stu Webb, and he paid a tremendous price for it. He's a miracle. In fact, he's still alive, and now they're leaving him alone. But he's the only person that ever tangled with him directly and survived that I know of. And, of course, he verified a lot of the things that I had been told I didn't know about, but Stu lived it and survived and has written about it and talked about it. So he's a real important witness to how this all started in this country and how they've, taken over government. And I really like to hear, Stu, how you figured out the difference between the secret part of them that's not easily seen and the visible part that's seen in government.
Are you ready to answer that? You do realize you're muted again.
I apologize. I'm intentionally muting.
No, but Stu, you know there's two parts. There's two faces. They got the secret side that they hide in secret in their castles and do all their rituals, human sacrifice and things. And then there's the visible handiwork that we see with the Iran-Contra, the drug dealing Congress that's completely compromised, the gangster government. But how did you ever find out the difference between the two? It's easy to see corruption when you're a product of it, when they're attacking every day. But how did you figure out what was behind it?
Well,
the secret side.
Well, it was kind of a strange story. But when I was talking to an Illuminati Knights Templar type, down in San Antonio back in 1994. I was doing some speeches down there, and there was someone that I'd met when I was held as a political prisoner, and he introduced me, this high-level person involved in all kinds of notorious stuff for Daddy Bush. And I was sitting there talking to him and told him about this story in 1984, about 3 weeks before my daughter was born, and which was Leonard Bellman's daughter that I was married to. And that we had the goat-headed demon in our bedroom, and I cast him out in the name of Jesus and by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the guy freaked out, and he had said, his words were, "You saw the goat, and you're still alive to talk about it?" And he asked me how it happened. Well, I told him, he clammed up. But that's when I first discovered that there was something wrong with these people. And then it led to, investigations. And by 1995, I had the chance to meet someone else out in Colorado that was a little bit aware, a shadow government type that was more or less retired at the time. And he was kind of informed. And as he said, we're standing on top of a mountain. in Colorado, where he lives. And he made the statement, when I asked him about this, whether they were doing these satanic worships, of which I was told in 1994, and he says, I can't talk about it. I said, why not? He said, they can hear us. And I said, what do you mean they can hear us? He said, they're all around us. You can't see them. And he says, they run back and tattletale. I said, okay, I understand. In other words, demons. He says, yes. So this is kind of where it led me. I kept digging and digging and so forth. And then I found out that they were doing it, that I had heard downtown Denver, and then I heard this place called the Kimball Castle out in Sedalia. At one time, they were doing it there. It wasn't. It turned out to be the old Nabari downtown, Denver, Colorado. It's an old whorehouse slash casino that's a monument that Leonard Melman owns. And it's what they classify as the Museum of Western Art, of which nobody's even allowed to go in the place. And it's across from the Brown Palace Hotel, which is a quite a famous hotel that they've done a lot of business out of over the years. But there's tunnels running underneath out of the Ship's Tavern, where the door is actually unlocked on the night of June 21st, because they do it between the witching hour of 1 a.m. to 3 a.m. On June 21st, and December 22nd from 1 a.m. to 3 a.m. or 12 o'clock until 3 a.m. Denver time. And so this year, I put the story up on Veterans Today, and someone inside intelligence put it into the Amber Alert system that they were going to be kidnapping a child, an infant, from a hospital, because the younger, the better the sacrifice, the more power they derive, supposedly, from Satan. So they were going to be doing the sacrifice and intentionally kidnap a kid. Well, the Amber Alert system was lit up so heavy that every cop had been notified, of course, and all the hospitals, and they were all secure. So no child was kidnapped. Well, an ironic twist happened, and I had said in the story that I posted on Veterans Today on the 9th of June that it would occur sometime, the kidnapping, between the 17th and the 21st, the night of the 20th. And on the 17th, the police busted a guy, a black man, wanted out of Dallas, Texas, in Oklahoma City, outside Oklahoma City, and they busted him for trying to kidnap a child that was just a little bit younger, 2 years of age. So they tried to get a two-year-old or younger, preferably an infant, for these two sacrifices in Denver. And they actually busted him, grabbed him. He's holding a knife to the kid's neck, and the cops are asking why he's doing this. And he says, I'm kidnapping it for the Illuminati sacrifice, for the Illuminati. And the police actually said that the Illuminati is a satanic occult that does human sacrifices that they had learned on June the 21st of each year. So they actually didn't get to perform, what I understand. There were people in the intelligence world that were all lit up on this, did me a favor. People staked the place out. Nobody saw any infants or any kids being taken in there unless they were able to get them in some way they couldn't see it. So I think we actually, Vinny, after reporting on this since 2001 in December, this was the first time we actually got them caught, should we say, and I believe that they did not actually perform their sacrifice on June the 21st. Well, this screws up their time frame. This screws up things because the devil comes up to tell them their future and things. And these, you know, as a favor, oh, you're to start wars in this period of time, or you're not to start a war. So I believe that there may have been things that occurred that if you look at the bigger picture right now and the big lies by Obama and Kerry and how they have been pushing for this World War III with Syria and to cause World War III, and now they're going after Iran, and that didn't work. So now we're back to the get the guns because the American people are mad. You can see the pattern here with the shooting yesterday and so forth. And there's a pattern here where you can see that, they're quite nervous because Dr. Preston James has explained in his series of stories, and he's done some really masterpieces on this, that they're getting ready to go down. And the bankers, these are the Illuminati. Their banks are ready to collapse. They've screwed everybody financially. They've stolen, wrote $100 trillion worth of mortgages that they derivatized to 5,000 trillion, 5 quadrillion dollars. And the banks are sitting there with 8 out of 10 of their assets at Bank of America, as an example, of those bad mortgages that they were creating out of thin air. They had no houses to back them. Some of them duplicated many times over. And they're not classified as non-performing assets on the books of Bank of America. And they're ready to collapse over this. So what they've tried to do is this Ponzi scheme, intentionally, of continuing their game as long as they could, hoping that they could work themselves out of it by 2016, out of the financial bind that they're in, that, you know, they've collapsed the entire economies of the world, they've taken over the economies, but they're in trouble right now. And Preston, would you like to add to that? I mean, you've done some masterpieces.
I think my point is, I think you're the first person to really expose that there is a connection between the corruption in our visible world with this esoteric satanic kingdom. You're the first person ever to expose it. See, I always had trouble understanding why, you know, how can Congress be so easily corrupted? How can people be blackmailed? Why do we have 30 to 40% of the people in Congress? Why are they pedophiles, known pedophiles? Why do we have people going to Congress and being re-socialized and turning into monsters? Why do we have all these wars where the United States, the greatest country in the world, has been completely gangsterized, turned into a world gangster, goes around murdering innocent people, blowing them up with cruise missiles and doing all these terrible things, fighting Israel's wars? How could we ever get to this place? And I could never explain it until I learned about the esoteric side of it. But I think you were the first one that ever really exposed this connection. People had talked about it, but see, you lived it, Stu, and you're the only one I know of that survived being in that
situation.
Well,
Preston, we're coming to break now, so we'll continue on this after the break. And I told Stu before, you know, what occurs to me is that he said his house burned down, ladies and gentlemen, and so many other things have tried to kill him a number of times. And what he embodies is simply the triumph of the human spirit over evil, right, basically. We'll be right back.
Alone against your mad, deadly, worldwide, conspiratorial, gangster, computer god communism with wall-to-wall, deadly gangster protection, lifelong sworn conspirators, murder, incorporated, organized crime, the police and judges, the deadly, sneak-parroting, puppet gangsters, using all the gangster, deadly Frankenstein controls, these hangman...
Welcome back.
...deadly gangsters... the judges and the police trick.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show, the show that goes where everybody else dares to tread, even the humor amidst the dread. My very special guests are Stu Webb. Oh my god, that rhymed too. And Preston James. Guys, welcome back.
Thank you.
Now, Preston, you were talking about how Stu's kind of the first person to link this sort of satanic agenda to the gangster, bangster, something else that rhymes with anchor sort of people. And what is your personal experience in all of this? How did you find out about all of this?
Well, I was in the business as a licensed marriage and family therapist and a licensed psychologist for over 30 years, and I had, because my father had been a colonel in the military and also involved in military intelligence, had probably, because of that, a lot of people in the intelligence business would come to me from time to time. It wasn't a constant thing, but there was a fair number of them, and basically they had all the same family problems that other people have, sometimes more because of foreign service assignments and various things. And, of course, they're required to get any consultation inside their own organizations, but these people would come to me and, you know, pay cash and use what I thought was a phony name, but my job was to help them. I just would do what I could to help them, but I would ask them, why aren't you going to your own agency? And they'd say, well, we don't trust them. We have no trust in them. I said, well, why not? Well, they say, because they use any personal information against us to give us bad assignments or to manipulate us. And then it was always hard for me to understand why. It seemed like everybody that talked about the agencies and how they were run, it was always negative. So they were there. They wanted to keep their retirement. They knew that if they quit, they felt they would be hassled or whatever. But I didn't really talk to any of them that were happy. And many of them were very afraid of them. And had stories how that if anybody worked within the system to change it, they'd get charged a phony charge and sent to jail, so they're discredited and lose their job and lose their retirement. And there were stories of hundreds of whistleblowers that tried to work within these agencies that were all set up and busted or disgraced or drugs planted in their car, or you name it. So that there was a tremendous amount of fear. And I guess I thought, how can any agency operate effectively when people are afraid? And really what they're doing is covering their own backside 24/7, and not, they don't even care about the agency anymore, or their government or anything. They're just trying to survive. And but the sad part is that places like Vacaville, prison in California, there are numerous institutions around the country that are just filled with CIA people. That if you want to be in deep black ops in the CIA, chances are when they're done with you, you're going to go to jail. And they'll let you live if you go to jail, if you take your sentence, so you're discredited so you can't testify in court. I think, Stu, you know a lot about how many people were there that were sent on, you know, trumped-up charges to keep them from ever talking.
Well, that's all true because, you know, when I caused those four congressional investigations back-to-back between 1989 through 1991, which was the HUD scandal, where they were ripping government off for 500,000 apartment units, each apartment being a unit, and it was over about a 15-year period of time, and they were getting, I think it was 9 out of every 10 HUD dollars. Milman, my ex-in-law, and Daddy Bush's partner, and Larry Mizell, the bank bailout scamster, were the primary ones, and Phil Wynn. But it was also Silverado, where Neil Bush was director, that Milman owned. MDC Holdings was the parent company. And if you check out my website, stewebb.com, S-T-E-W-W-E-B-B, in the center column, if you scroll down, you can do it on iPhones, iPads, or whatever, but there's a center column there. And there's a story on MDC. I call it Frauds or Us at MDC, and I kind of laid out specific details. You click on that, and it'll take you to the link on Veterans Today. But I caused the Silverado hearings, which was Iran-Contra money laundering. And it was so intense, it was unbelievable. And then the hearings on the Denver International Airport, that I had got those hearings. And Dick Young, a former Rear Admiral, who was a licensed attorney, testified, you know, with the evidence we had. I worked with him all the time exposing that. And then later we found out about the secret underground. But that was a $500 million airport. They went to over $16 billion. Plus they got the 470 toll road out there, privatized it just on a signature after the government had put in all the money, because they got a credit line of $20 million. So they get a toll road fee. They're ripping the people off for 100 years. And then the other was called the MDC 200, illegal political campaign money laundering, that I got popped in originally Time Magazine. Later it became the Keating 5 hearings involving John McCain, Senator John McCain, the war nut, the one that wants war all the time, that met with Al-Qaeda over in Syria, that keeps the war alive in Afghanistan because he gets a part of the cut of the drug money from the heroin that comes in the United States, and he keeps Guantanamo Bay, Cuba alive, of course. But during that period of time, what had happened was they found out it was me causing those four congressional investigations. So they decided to shut me down by issuing a warrant for my arrest, saying that I had made terroristic death threats against my ex-in-law, Leonard Milman, of which never occurred. Well, then, of course, they held me for 10 and a half months, and they tried to get me to plead guilty to a misdemeanor with a 5-year probation where they were watching me 24/7. I said, go to hell. I'm not guilty of anything. Let's take this to trial, because I want to blow it out. And so instead, they used the United States Public Defender's Office to send me off to Springfield to be evaluated by the government shrinks. So I got sent to Springfield, Missouri, where at the time there were over 2,000 Iran-Contra players. And this was all in the 1992 time frame. I was sent down there, I believe it was in February, and they evaluated me, of course, and they said there wasn't anything the matter with me and I shouldn't have ever been sent there. And they sent me there. Their evidence was a newspaper article that was created after the slander of me and demonized me, after I had already been locked up. And, of course, they violate everything. And later the charges were dismissed with prejudice against me by Judge Richard Mache. They had killed his daughter over all this to deal with the illegal political campaign money laundering to get him off the case so a Judge Feinsilver could acquit him. But while I was locked up there in Springfield, I got to know 2,000 shadow government type players, everybody from NSA, CIA, FBI, you name it, bad people. I mean, you know, people that were doing these things that Jim's talking about that were working for Gov, a lot of military people, Naval SEALs. Many people are named in a book that I hooked them up with, Rodney Stitch, Defrauding America, where my name appears. I mean, I've been written about, I think, in 10 books now. And they're written about and contributed to, and I think my name appears in about five or six of them. Some of them I asked for not to appear in early on. Just like those hearings, I wish I had testified now in those hearings rather than staying behind the scenes, and I could have. It would have changed things probably for me, and it would have changed things maybe for the country in general. But, you know, as Jim said, people being locked up, I mean, many of those people went back into the fold later on, but when Daddy Bush was in so much trouble over Iran-Contra, and Lawrence Walsh, the independent prosecutor, Judge Walsh, I give him high regards and salute him to this day, he had Ollie North indicted, he had Daddy Bush indicted, he had everybody, and here Bush is going out the door, and he gives a presidential pardon to Ollie North and Caspar Weinberger, Secretary of Defense, and to Admiral John Poindexter, to protect himself. And then he, of course, had everybody arrested in September early on where they had done things and for the government and for the secret shadow government and everything from security frauds to drug smuggling to money laundering, narcotics money laundering, etc. And here I am in there with all these people. Well, they're unloading on me because they're facing 5 years in jail and they're wanting to talk and they knew I had news sources. So, you know, everybody was unloading on me, the whistleblower. I was the only one that was the actual whistleblower that was down there. And the funny part...
Let me get this straight, Stu. They didn't want you to talk or know the information, so they locked you up for a period of time with all the people that wanted to talk and had all the information that you wanted.
Yeah, all these shadow government players. So here I am, and there were 1,000 of them, and I get out with 500 phone numbers of their wives and sons and daughters and everybody to contact and, you know, to keep in contact with them. So that's how I developed real heavyweight sources. And
somebody once told me that we give the Illuminati just too much credit sometimes, you know. Sometimes they're not that bright.
They aren't bright at all at times, but that's how I made a lot of my real deep contacts. And from those, they gave me other contacts. And, you know, I've had dinner with probably half of those people from time to time over the years and, you know, met with them. And I consistently have my, you know, I ask for contributions so I can operate. You know, it's like throwaway telephones. I have to go to, you know, someplace like Walmart and spend $10 for a cheap phone and a $20 car. And I walk out of $33 expenses and I got about an hour and a half total time. And then I got to go spend another $20. Well, you know, I can't use the same self throwaway to call several people because it gets tracked. And so, you know, should I say I got about a dozen throwaways. And, you know, it takes a lot to bring the information. It does take money to bring the information to the American people. And that's one of the reasons I, you know, ask for contributions on this, because right now I'm disabled. I've got a broken neck as a result of a rollover. Where they tried to kill me. I mean, if you want to flash it on the screen, if you went to my website, go to archives, where it says accident, click on one of those, maybe that number 16 it says, and you can flash it and see what they what it's like to hit the concrete barrier at 60 miles an hour three times on your head. But they've, you know, since that time, that was in 2010, they've crashed me two more times, destroyed another vehicle. I haven't been paid a damn dime by the insurance companies. I finally got an attorney after two of them were threatened to go after them. They burned a customer's house to the ground that I was working on during that period of time. I mean, torched the house. It was empty. They had just inherited it, and it was kind of a sad situation. You know, I'm hoping to recover for them one day, but their insurance had lapsed by 5 days on that house. The owners didn't know it. They had inherited it. But this is the kind of things they've done. And, you know, many of those people that I was locked up with, I think there's about 20 of them dead that I'm aware of. Bob Hunt was one of them, Office of Naval Intelligence, Lieutenant Commander, Office of Naval Intelligence. He was the one that ran a Naval SEAL team that captured General Noriega. And here he is down there at the Vatican where Noriega was hiding out. And he's on a cell phone at the time, or a walkie-talkie-type cell phone, talking to George Herbert Walker Bush, then President of the United States, while Bush is yelling and screaming. He says, "You're to kill him. You're not to let him out alive. You're to kill him." He says, "Sir, I have an arrest warrant to arrest him." He says, "I'm going to bring him to justice. I'm not going to kill him." And he says, "If you do that," he says, "I'll lock you up forever." He says, "F you, Mr. President. I'm going to do my job, what I was ordered to do." And that's what he did. He brought him justice. Well, Bob's down there walking around the prison in full military uniform without any insignias on and held as a prisoner for 6 months to put him out of commission and pay him back and punish him because he didn't kill Manuel Noriega, who was Daddy Bush's partner in drugs in Panama. And the only reason we ever invaded Panama is because Noriega wanted more money of his cut of the drugs. And so he nationalized the Hilton Hotel Corporation, some other buildings that Milman and Miza and Daddy Bush owned together. And that was the reason we invaded. So here it is, a personal thing, and drugs, narcotics, illegal narcotics, smuggling in the U.S. and so forth. And we invade another country over that and killed as many people as what we did in Panama. This is a typical control that they have over the U.S. And Jim, do you want to add to that?
Well, I think it's, they destroyed a few blocks square, just burnt the people up alive in this one apartment section, and they used high-powered laser weapons, tested all these new weapons down there, and it was totally a war crime, the whole thing top to bottom, and you're right, all just for drugs. And here, some experts that have retired from the DEA have said that if the illegal drug trade was ever cut off, the Wall Street banks would go under in 1 month. So here we have the United States with the biggest business that we have now is drugs. What, our whole country seems to be based on drugs. That's pretty sad, isn't it?
And, if you look at Afghanistan, if you look at the people that are on the committee to keep it alive, Lieberman and John McCain, both senators, they're both receiving drug cuts. And here they're on the Armed Services Committee. Lieberman has always been a dual citizen in Israeli Mossad, dirty. I mean, he's filthy in Milman.
Well, yeah, let's look at Pat.
He's always been Milman and Daddy Bush's stooge up there, and John McCain.
If you remember the
I reckon we could ahead, rename him. We could rename him John McCocaine.
Tiny McKee, who was a DIA agent, had a team of five agents there over there. He had cracked the whole case. They were coming back to put a stop to the illegal drug business through Pan Am. Is coming all the opium coming in, and to get these five guys, they blew the whole aircraft out of the sky, and then tried to blame it on Libya when really the CIA did it.
Yeah, and we're coming to break now, guys. We'll be back in just a few minutes. And what I find very interesting is it's like there's something like $500 million, conservatively, according to Michael Rubin from thewilderness.com, going through the U.S. stock exchange every year. That's liquid cash. And because people don't pay their credit cards off, you need that liquid cash in order to make sure the economy doesn't collapse. We'll be right back.
On December 16th, 1961, the world turned upside down.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Check this out, ladies and gentlemen. I'm showing it on the screen behind me for those of you who are watching on YouTube. There is a car here is very remarkably smashed up. Were you in that freaking costume?
60 miles. An hour on the freeway, they hit me in the left rear, flipped me in right in the middle of the lane, and the vehicle just went right in towards the barriers. I'm rolling on the two tires, and I flipped three times and hit my head three times, on the concrete barrier. Broke my neck in six places.
Cow, man. But see, they don't mess around, do they? It's just kind of like Here's what I've been trying to explain people to for a long time. They're like, oh, why would somebody do that? You know, I'd never ruthlessly try and exterminate somebody or start proxy wars that would wind up murdering a million people. Yeah, but you're not a psychopathic control freak who's possessed by a demon, bro.
That's very
all right.
True. And, you know, ask Dr. Preston James what happened to him the other night. Preston?
Yes, I'm here, yes. Yeah, these people,
what happened.
Real life.
He just showed a picture of that where they rolled me on the freeway.
Someone was with me. We were in the car. The car pulled up behind me, and this guy had a device maybe 4 inches wide by maybe eight inches long and about 4 inches deep, stuck on a big suction cup right on his windshield, right over his steering wheel, and he had his face in front of it, so it was obstructing his view. Pulled in behind me and turned on a laser light. Now, this is during broad daylight. It was a very powerful laser, so it shined into my eyes through the mirror, but it made us nauseated and we started to pass out. So I hit the brakes real hard, broke the line of sight of this guy, and then he went around me and I could see what he was doing. But it was a real strange looking guy. He looked like a Ichabod Crane or something in his tiny little car, and he was driving from this box rather than looking at the front of the car, through the windshield. It was obstructing his view. It was very strange. But what they do is they will hit you with some kind of laser, and if you don't break the light chain, it'll knock you out, and then that's how they do a lot of car accidents. And they work with other team members, and they'll tag team you, clip in on your sides of your car and try to flip you over. So the game is real, but the thing is God's protected me many times, and I thank him for that, but I think he raises people up like Stu to expose this, and the fact that Stu is still here shows that God's protecting him, otherwise he'd have been dead long ago. And these people are going to be exposed, and right now they're in the process of being taken apart at the seams. People inside the government now know what they are doing. They're on to them. They're being exposed. People in the highest military positions now know who the traitors are. They're taking care of business. They know that Israel did 9/11 with the help of some of our people in the Joint Chiefs. They know the names. And in the next couple of years, you're going to see a lot of these people brought to justice one way or the other. And I think that there's a movement to take our country back.
Mm. Now, Preston, we only have about 8 minutes left in this segment, and then you've got to go. So we want to really leave that up to you and not waste our time here. So what are some of the most important things that you really want to kind of get out in these remaining minutes?
Well, I would say that the first thing is that it's important to realize that there is an occult secret world. We all see the visible aspects. We see the visible world. The visible government, it really has no power. They're just puppets. You have the secret invisible world, the shadow government, which is driven by occult organizations. There's a worldwide organization of interlocked occult groups that run the banking, and they run the oil business. They run the weapons business. They traffic in children. They buy and sell children. They seem to be obsessed with pedophilia, murder, drug dealing, and they are known Satan worshipers. Many of them would say, no, they don't worship Satan. They're Luciferians, or they worship Lucifer. But there have been people that have left those organizations that are talking now and telling other insiders that haven't reached that level what it's all about, that it's really a secret, esoteric, interlocked group of Satan worshipers that runs the world. And it goes all the way back thousands of years. Some people call it Synagogue of Satan. Others just call it occult, interlocked occult groups. But this is the real secret government, and it's being exposed. The one thing, they can't stand exposure. Every place they get exposed, they go down the tubes. And the alternative media on the Internet is their greatest enemy now. They're very upset about it. They don't know what to do because they own the major mass media. There's six banks that own all the major mass media, radio, everything, and control it. Everything is controlled through the Pentagon every morning. They have the same talking points. But the alternative media and shows like yours, Vinny, is actually getting to the point now where it's surpassing the major controlled mass media. the young people have no respect at all for the major mass media. They don't watch the 6 o'clock news, the international news. They don't watch Meet the Press. They don't believe one word the media says. They always go to the internet for their news, and they pick and choose, and they find websites where they think the people are telling the truth. And so the only thing that keeps the major media going are the big pharma pharmaceutical ads, the military recruiting ads, and advertising from these offshore large corporations that are really part of a criminal syndicate. So if you remove all those forms of support, the people themselves don't support it anymore. And what we're seeing within the next few years will be a complete decay and loss of the major control mass media to the point where they're just going to collapse. Newspapers are going bankrupt now. And the government itself is going bankrupt, so I want people to prop this up. So the whole system is coming down, like it or not. And what we just hope is that we end up with something better than what we have.
And if I may add to that, Vinny, I think that if you scroll down, I see on your screen, you might want to put back up that his page on Preston's page on Veterans Today. But if you scroll down to the very end, I forgot which story it was, Preston. Was it 01 Kingpins, Cutouts, and Aliens, I believe was the title. It was a masterpiece.
Kingpins and Cutouts, Aliens, and Hybrids.
It's a masterpiece to start with for those that are listening today that are viewing that page right there of Vinny that you have on your screen, because it explains the top of the food chain down and how the structure is. And then he's gone into some masterpieces about Space Wars 2, 3, 4, through. What are you up to now, 10?
10.
Yes.
And so there's a secret space war that's been going on, you know, for many years, ever since the 1940s. And, you know, nobody wants to get into this thing of aliens and, you know, demons and all this stuff. But it's the only way you can really explain things. It's the only way that you can explain what's happening to the world and to all the governments and the massive corruption that there is. There is a secret space war. There are cosmic parasites that are invited into these people. There are transactions made where people are approached, and if they'll kneel down, take an oath to Satan, they're promised all the riches and power in the world. What they don't realize is that they're actually inviting a parasite in to take them over. And at that point, their soul is snatched from them, and they become something unhuman. They're inhuman. And that's why they're able to do all these evil things with no conscience anymore, because they don't have a conscience.
And I do believe that this is one of the things that's quite scary for a lot of people to accept, is that there are entities that are intelligent that aren't human, and in fact use us kind of like their tools, basically. And I do believe that we're all really susceptible to this if we would accept the program. And the problem with people today is that they don't even know that there is a program. But luckily, that's changing slowly but surely. I just hope we're successful before it's too late.
Well, look at your show. Would your show have been allowed 20 years ago?
Absolutely. My show wouldn't have been possible 20 years ago.
Yeah, so I mean, we have to be appreciative of the progress that the alternative media has made, because every day, the power of the occult system is being eroded every single day by the alternative press.
Preston, if I may, for a moment, you know, you come from a Christian perspective because you yourself are a Christian like I am, and we understand, you know, that there's good versus evil, and it's God versus the devil and the fallen angels. And would you be in agreement with me the fact that these so-called aliens are the fallen angels?
Yeah, I think that's true, and I think they're very deceptive. I think they masquerade, they can shapeshift, they come, they're interdimensional, and they make themselves appear as alien beings and various things, but they're really, and I've had a number of people that have investigated this tell me that they came to the conclusion that they were, in fact, demons, evil beings, that there's nothing good about them, that they're parasites. The best explanation is they're evil parasites.
Really, what it comes down to is what the Bible says, basic instructions before leaving Earth, that the fallen angels were cast out of heaven. There was a war in heaven. They were cast down here on Earth. And then, of course, God made man, us, and he gives us power and authority over them. And that's what so many people don't understand. You know, there's a video. There's an article I just put up today on Veterans Today, and it's called Daddy Bush, the Illuminati Wizard of Oz. And it's on the front of my website as well under stewwebb.com, stewwebb.com. And there's a videotape inside there from a friend of mine, Glenn Kennedy, that has a site called Project InSearch. He has on his site as well, but it's inside there. Videotape by a gentleman. Shows the people that were...
Okay, we're kind of being cut off by the break here, Stu. We'll talk about that after it. Preston, I want to thank you very much for your contributions to the show so far, and I hope you have a nice evening.
I hope you
have. All right.
All right, goodbye now.
All right, thank you, Preston. All right, we'll be right back after the break, ladies and gentlemen, with Stu Webb, stewwebb.com. That's Webb with two Bs. Back in just a minute, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you go anywhere. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week. Archives at TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com. There's Vinnie with a Y because it's the most important question, and Eastwood doesn't go ahead. Make my news. This is a totally listener-supported broadcast, so if you want the show to continue, in fact, this week I don't have enough money to pay the rent, unless I get like about 100 or so in donations, like today or tomorrow, if you want the show to continue, please go to TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com and donate. Or set up an automatic payment through the Kiwi Bank or the PayPal there. Reason for this is, well, essentially it means that I've got some kind of an income to draw from on a consistent basis so that I don't have to worry about where my next meal is coming from. At the moment, I don't know what I'm going to eat for lunch kind of thing. Like, the situation is that freaking bad. I need your help, ladies and gentlemen. I need it now. Rather desperately. There's a lot of work to be done in the alternative media in New Zealand because there is really not that much choice out there. I'm the only person in this country who's doing a five-day-a-week radio broadcast, who's bringing on people like Stu Webb and activists and all of these other kind of people who basically really don't get much of a shot on mainstream media. And even if they do, they get reduced to a soundbite. And those with a hunger for the truth cannot have that hunger satiated with a soundbite, ladies and gentlemen. If you support me, you support all of these activists and all of these great ideas and commentaries and exposures of scumbaggery by proxy. So please, do me a favor, do me a solid. Go to the Vinnie Eastwood... excuse me. Go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com and start up an automatic payment, either through PayPal or the Kiwi Bank. Thank you. All right, now, back to business. Stu, welcome back.
Well, thank you for once again having me. And, you know, I want to say this in your behalf, Benny. People don't realize how important it is for people like you, people like me, out here really 24-7. I'm working 18 hours a day. You know, it's like to stop this war. I pumped out the information. There's a link on my website that says send this to the Congress. No war. It's right there at the top of my site. And it's a link of a compiled evidence by Gordon Duff and others of Veterans Today that have, and many people that are writers up there on Veterans Today are actually military intelligence. And here it is, compiled, the evidence showing the Syrian gas attacks. Syrian gas attacks were not done by the Syrian government, but were actually done by U.S. contractors, which is Daddy Bush's al-Qaeda, which is what we're referring to now as the Illuminati private army. And, you know, here's the proof and evidence, and that's what Russia basically took to go to the U.N. with it. You know, I'm asking everybody to take that and pass it around. But, you know, it's like this past, you know, I'm looking probably pretty tired on this camera right now because I've averaged anywhere from 3 to 5 hours of sleep for the past 10 days trying to stop this thing. And, of course, we were effective in doing so. So, you know, I tell people that, you know, if they got an extra 5 hours, they don't have any ideas, just like your show. And it's like my website. Those that come to my website, I got a money bomb going right now. I'm asking for $1 contribution from everybody coming up there. I could do so much more good and so much work, but it takes funds to do it. And it's the truth. It's like yourself. People don't realize the amount of work that you put into this. And people want to be informed, and they want the information that you bring to the table, that I bring to the table. And $1 for everybody that comes to your website or comes to listen to your show, that would make the difference per month. And everybody kicking a dollar. I mean, when I was working, you know, I could afford. I've helped so many other people, you know, but you know, I laid up. Now, I can't go swinging a hammer. I can't do it because of these attempts. It's you know, my skull got crushed. You know, other things, broken neck. So, you know, people have to understand.
See, they're not only trying to take your life, they didn't succeed in taking your life, but they did succeed in taking your livelihood.
Yeah, they did that. They did that. So, you know, that's the reason for 2 years straight here. I've been banging them hard as much as I can because I'm laid up. I can't go do the physical stuff. And when you're a whistleblower, nobody wants to hire you. No other contractors, I guarantee you. You know.
Yeah, it's like, hey, bro, could you give me a job? Oh, okay. Oh, you're Stu Webb, aren't you? You're the one who gets everybody's house burned down if you start working for them. Sorry, bro, the position's been filled.
Yeah, it's been filled. Yeah, exactly.
You know, you can't win if you try in this world. It's kind of hilarious, but it's also it's just a Greek tragedy, isn't it?
It is. It's our government is so corrupt and run by these criminals. It's bizarre, you know, and it's a handful of them. And, you know, Benny, you know, I'd like to talk in this next hour about really the control box. I mean, we've talked about it with Dr. Preston James, and he has some massive articles up there that people need to read and understand things because he's done some magnificent work. And that's the reason I asked him to come on that first hour. You suggest bringing someone else. But I've exposed this for 29 years, and I married into the crime syndicate. I married Leonard Billman's daughter, not knowing it. And, of course, we had a child, and then she tried to murder my child. And then, she was ordered to undergo psychiatric evaluation, which I'd already taken for 3 shots. And she disappears the next day after the state ordered her, and they issued warrants for her. Her father bought her way out, terminated my parental rights to my own infant daughter. Illegally. And then they divorced me a second time in 1994, 10 years later, terminate my parental rights, saying that I gave up my daughter for $1.5 million with a guarantee, with a sealed case with a permanent lifetime restraining order where I supposedly agreed to this and agreed to allow them to change her name from Webb to Millman, from Amanda Webb to Amanda Millman. None of that happened. But that was fraud upon the courts and all the other things. And one day, you know, hopefully I'll get that all turned around as we progress into changing our government, and maybe I'll get some justice. You know, I haven't had a relationship with my daughter. She doesn't even know me. She's 29 years of age. I got a grandson, a son-in-law that does not even know me. You know, I tried to approach her back in 2002 and was informed by the FBI. A friend of mine in Denver knew I was there. Had contacted me and said, look, Stu, if you know, you get near your daughter, they're going to put you in federal prison again. You know, it's going to be a state case, but they're going to make it a federal case. You're going to go away because of the power of your ex-in-law. Well, my ex-in-law during 1997, I had Gene Chip Tatum. He was a super shadow government player. If you go to my website on Stu Webb and you look under YouTube, at the top there's a bar that says Stu Webb YouTube, and you scroll down and look for the video on there. He's also, if you scroll down the middle column of my website, I've also got a couple stories up there about Gene. That he's alive, not dead, as reported. But there's an audio tape in there where he talks about the power of these people. But during we had done many interviews as co-guests on radio shows, because he had been sent to me by another shadow government player, Al Martin, who I helped get his book published, The Conspirators. And my ex-in-law is named in that, of a lot of fraud with Neil Bush, Jeb Bush, George Jr., and George Sr. And, I've known a lot of these people, cats and gators, over the years. During that 1996-1997 time frame, they offered me $7 million to go away and shut up, forget about my daughter. And, to me, my child's important, even after all these years. But, that's, $7 million, I could have had, quote-unquote, go live a good life. But, at that point, I had seen what they had created. They had created the homeless. We had people off the streets, a million people homeless at the time. And because I'm robbing and looting HUD, I'm just different. My conscience won't allow me to be part of that. That's like taking money from the devil, give up on humanity and the cause, which is we've got to change things. And when we look at our government today, who's really in charge, and we understand the people that have robbed and looted this country, like in that story I put up, and it's on the front of my site, it says in the middle column, it says Fraudsrus at MDC. Every financial scandal of the 1980s, 1990s, 2000 time frame have always been these three people: Leonard Milman, Larry Mizell, and Daddy Bush, the Illuminati. If you look at the structure, you take the back of a dollar bill. I don't even have a dollar bill on me. If you had a dollar bill and you flash it up on the screen, you see the all-seeing eye, Lucifer, the pyramid on the back of a dollar bill, and the Federal Reserve, which is their private bank. They control the money supply worldwide. And there's 12 men doing this. And that all-seeing eye is Lucifer. They're the ones that they worship. On that first layer in that pyramid, the flat part of the pyramid at the very top, are the Council of 13, they call them. They're actually the Council of 12. They answer to the devil themselves. Well, these 12 men, I explained in an article I just put out, Daddy Bush, the Illuminati Wizard of Oz, how they become alien brains, I call it, which is defining the fact that the aliens are the fallen angels. And it's up on my website now, and it's also on Veterans Today, the story. And it defines in there how that they become possessed by fallen angels, by these aliens, and then the alien takes over their brain, and how the fact that they have a 6th, 7th, clear up to a 12th and 13th sense to them, to where they can live up to 150 years old. So Daddy Bush, he's made the statement, I'll live to be 150 years of age. He's probably correct. He probably will live to be that age. And in another 50 years, he's 89 now, the same age as Milman. They graduated from Yale together. They were skull and bones together. And he probably will live that. And Leonard may live that as well. And that's what those that are possessed by these fallen angels right now, that are in the top of the pyramid, these 12 men, I've been convinced for years of it. And, I've gotten the information in the past year that this is all very true, that they are possessed. And so, as an example, if they're walking underneath or walking in some, say, Chicago or New York, and they're in some area where there's some old brick that may fall out of the side of a building and it's going to thump them on the head from 50 stories up. As an example, this being that's inside of them can sense that brick coming at them and would understand to step out of the way. Or if they're driving along and they're coming up to a stop sign, and say there's a stop sign both ways, two ways on them, and they got the right of way, and they don't have a stop sign, and they're going down the road, and all of a sudden they get a sense that a car is coming up there and going to crash into them. See, that's the alien brain. So therefore, they're able to avoid dying and so forth because of being possessed by these aliens / fallen angels. Now, one would ask, well, who are these 12 men throughout the world? Here's the ones I've identified after 29 years of research, you know, going after trying to expose my ex-in-laws and bring them to justice for what they've done, not only me personally, but what they've done to the country in general, is Leonard Millman. And I might add, he's hiding out in Cuba right now. In 2004, he was under such heavy surveillance, and he knew he was going to be indicted a second time, had already been indicted, pled guilty, and paid an $80 million fine and never went to jail in 1997 for bribing public officials. And Mayor Federico Pena had to resign as Secretary of Defense, or Secretary of Department of Energy at the time, former mayor of Denver, because he had to pay a $1.5 million fine for taking a $2.5 million bribe from Millman. So they didn't even fine him. You know, he still kept $1 million, was the ironic part. If you look at, you know, how the crime syndicate operates. And Larry Mizell, the bank bailout scamster, he had to pay over $5 million. And Norman Brownstein, the attorney that sets up all these trusts to hide all this money for him, that was Millman's attorney, as well as the attorney for Silverado and MDC Holdings, which was his parent company, where Neil Bush was the director. He was also the attorney of record of the sixth CIA council when Daddy Bush was CIA director. And he was the one that was derivatizing these artificial mortgages that Millman and Mizell were creating through HSC Bank out of Canada, a director, vice president of HSCB Bank, in order to derivatize these and sell them worldwide that have collapsed the economy. And when you look at the 12 people that are intertwined, these 12, they were in control, like in 1981, they were in control in the United States of 1% of the population being them, were in control of 20% of the economy straight across the board. They owned 20% of all businesses. Now, since 1981, since they arrived in power, Daddy Bush in the United States primarily, and then using Clinton, and then using Junior, George W. Bush, and now Barack Obama, and covering up for him, they have literally, as of June of last year, 1 year ago, 14 months later, 15 months later, they were in control, according to the General Accounting Office, they were in control of 95% of the U.S. economy. They own 95% of all the businesses. They took over all the mom and pops, drove them out of business, etc. And what the strange part about it is, that 1%, they identified that there were 400 men in the United States in that report, that General Accounting Office report, that showed that those 400 men made more money per year each than half the entire population of the United States of America, which we have 330 million people. So you can see what they've done, and it's been reported by country after country that they're in control, that 1% is in control of 90% to 92-93% of the economies of the rest of the world. These are the 12 men. 12 men control that much power now, and they've overthrown the planet financially in the past 30 years. And it's been all this fraud, deception, steal, rob, loot, deceive. It's just one scandal after another. And
We've come to break now, Stu, and you know, it makes a hell of a lot of sense what you're saying, because I see 90 to 95% of public officials who are in control of countries and so on and so forth doing the will of the bankers and the scumbankery. How could that possibly be the case if they don't actually have such inordinate control? The answer is they couldn't. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. Show, broadcasting live on the Mafioso Network. Then we run out of New York and Chicago really efficiently because we've got gun bans over there so that only the mafiosos can carry them so that we can make sure that everybody pays their protection money, especially the congressman. Some of our special guest is Stu Webb from StuWebb.com. That's Webb with two B's. And interestingly enough, he's on the Internet, which is called the World Wide Web. Welcome back.
Thank you once again, Vinny. And, you know, kind of where I had left off, that they're controlling. What's interesting, and someone just Skyped me here a moment ago that said when earlier in the program that I had missed something, got cut off because of the music, they couldn't hear it. Someone that happens to be listening to the show. You know, the power and authority through God and Christ, we can cast these demons and devils out, and there's proof and evidence in this latest article that I did that's on Veterans Today. There's a videotape, and it's on a friend of mine on his site on project.insearch.com, Glenn Kennedy's site. It's a video of people being abducted by aliens, and, you know, as soon as they in the name of Jesus, I cast you out of here. They find themselves back on planet Earth on their feet, unabducted. So, you know, these abductions are real. They use human beings. They want our blood. They want our DNA. They actually eat humans, is my understanding. They're not fond of us at all. They hate us. This is what we're up against. They are destroying us. And they possess man, like Milman and Bush and those others, and they become, you know, an alien brain, I call it, because then they're totally possessed and they're able to, you know, have those extra senses that I told you to avoid death and able to live for these number of years. It's just like Leonard being hiding out in Cuba now because of the pressure and the heat I put on him. You know, he goes, fakes his death, he goes down there. His own widow in Denver doesn't even know that he's, you know, alive. He was human once, and now he's possessed by this thing, and now he's going to do off-breed. He's artificially inseminated a 26-year-old Cuban girl, his new wife, by the way, and he's 89 years of age, and she's pregnant, and this will be an alien baby, should we say, a Nephilim bloodline that it talks about in Genesis 6 in the Bible, that these aliens, these fallen angels, mate with humans. They become, you know, they possess a human, and then they mate with them. So this child that he will have here in the future will be an, you could call it an alien baby, if you will, to. It's Nephilim bloodline. So this is the kind of thing that's that they do. And I've heard the same thing about Daddy Bush. There are several girls he's impregnated because of, since his possession, that apparently their possession time that they arose was around the late 50s, early 60s, is when they gained their power. They were generational Satanists to begin with. And Prescott Bush, you know, his father was Leonard Milman's partner, Leonard Milman's father's partner, Milman, that owned GFC Finance Company. They were both, you know, finance, and Lou was laundering the narcotics money that Prescott Bush was delivering around the world, you know, and then it became Daddy Bush and Leonard Milman. And Milman actually took over the Jewish mob here in the United States from Meyer Lansky and Luciano, I believe. Luciano, I believe the name was. That's where his eyes were. And so now, since, you know, they're one of the 12, you know, I described in the pyramid. At the very top, what they have is, they have, you know, underneath them different layers, that Illuminati bankers, and it goes down. But there's 200,000 of these that entities on the planet that are fallen angels, and I've reported this last story. This is what the government at the very top knows, that there's 200,000 of them walking around in human form. Now, I believe there's a possibility. I've asked, is there any in the Congress or Senate? And no, except possibly Lieberman, Joel Lieberman, you know, major Israeli asset, major combined between Israel, the Illuminati control in Israel, and the Illuminati control in the United States. And these same three men, Milman, Bush, and Larry Mizell control Bibi Netanyahu. I call him Bibi Netanyahu. And they're the ones trying to create this war in Syria because they're in this financial bind. They're actually trying to fulfill biblical prophecies of end. And they hate man. They want to bring in time prophecies about. They want to destroy mankind. They want to eliminate mankind. But they tell these 12 that are humans, and then they get possessed by the fallen angels, and the others that are levels below them, that eventually they're going to be reincarnated. So as humans, they believe this. And this is the reason they have children and grandchildren. They believe their daughters and great-granddaughters and, you know, great-great-granddaughters are, when they die, they go to the pit of hell for a short period of time and serve Baphomet, the goat-headed demon, the devil, and then they're reincarnated a year later. Well, that isn't true. Reincarnation is not real. People may want to believe that. Half the population probably does, but half the population doesn't believe in God, or maybe more. So this is, you know, the human race has to understand. And this is what we're really up against. We're up against this is good versus evil. And I know many people in the intelligence world, they claim to be atheists themselves. They don't even know if God's real. But they've all said the same thing to me. Stu, we are up against a very evil force here, the aliens. They're very, very evil. And they've been around for a long time, Benny. And, you know, these 12 at the top, I want to name them, the control box. Worldwide. I don't have them all, but count them off for me. We got Leonard Melman. We got Larry Mizell, Daddy Bush, Grace of Grace and Company, Henry Kissinger, David Rockefeller, Meyer Rothschild, Anwar Ben Shri of Israel, the head rabbi of the synagogues worldwide, the head of the Hebron, and Pope Benedict had just resigned, and a guy named Warburg out of Europe. Now, how many is that? Got 10 of them? Okay, your mic's not. You got 10 of them?
10.
I'm missing two. And I know there's one out of the Orient that I've dropped a couple names, but I'm not positive whether it's correct or not. I haven't been able to verify it 3 and 4 times. I'd like to verify it before I start dropping names.
What about Zbigniew Brzezinski?
He's definitely in the Illuminati chain. In the food chain, but where he fits in, I don't know. But, you know, a lot of these alternative media stooges, and there are so many. I mean, you take Glenn Beck, Alex Jones, God, they're stacked up. Sean Hannity, Bill O'Reilly, all working for the Illuminati. When you look at the crap that they put out, all the Bilderbergers and what's the other ones in California that they push as being the head chiefs, the world, they're not. They're way down in the bottom of the pyramid. They're not even in those top layers. They, you know, the top layers are the Illuminati, these 2,000 or 200,000 that are the international bankers, the people that run the Federal Reserve, the people that run J.P. Morgan, the people that run Bank of America. I mean, that run these major corporations that are in the control box. There's where you will find those with this, I call it now the alien brain, that are the ones that are possessed. Did you, Vinny, you ever see that movie, They Live? You remember seeing that?
Oh, yeah. Kid?
Okay, well, if you...
Well, no, I didn't see that when I was a kid because I was like, I was only born in 1984, Stu. I saw it a couple of years back.
Well, hell, you're the same age as my... I'm 59, man. But, you know, back in my days, in the 70s, you know, in the late teens, early 20s, I think that movie came out about that time. I remember seeing it. Someone runs around, they put on a set of sunglasses or a pair of glasses, and all of a sudden they see these visuals. You know, they are able to see aliens. They're able to see, you know, strange-looking people. They're able to see signs, subliminal signs, and... good movie to watch because we're really living it today. We're seeing it right in our face with what we're doing, and if we could only break the control box. And you know, I set up recallpetitions.com with two other people, with Victor Head out of Colorado, or out of Pueblo, Colorado, And I'd heard about him. Someone said, Stu, we got a guy down here that is trying to recall a congressman for signing, you know, off on gun control here in Colorado. And I said, well, I'll get a hold of him. I did. And it turns out to be, you know, he was out there trying to collect signatures. He's $4,500 for an attorney fee. He made a boilerplate out of it. And out of the Secretary of State's office to collect the proper signatures. And he spent it out of pocket because gun control in Colorado. Well, I contacted Victor and talked with him. He says, oh, yes, dude, let's try to help me out. I said, yeah. So I got him on a few shows, got him volunteers, go out and help him get signatures. I asked Glenn Kennedy, my friend, to set up a website. He paid out of pocket $400 and set up recallpetitions.com. And, you know, nobody's trying to make money off this. Victor would like to get back, and anybody that's in Colorado, you know, listening, kick in. He just made history. But we set up recall. We have the petition, the actual boilerplate. All you got to do is take the congressman or senator's name out of it, put your congressman or senator, and in the bottom, put whether it was gun control, the NDAA Act, the Patriot Act, voting for a war, an illegal war, that they violated their oath of office to uphold, defend, and support the Constitution. And go file your petition. It's only about $10 to $150, depending on which state it is. And self-explanatory videos right on recall petitions. Well, we just, you know, as a result of this, you know, and the others that were tied in Colorado, there's been a big score just this past week, and I did a story on it. It's on my site. It's on Veterans Today about the recall and how it came about and the details. And this is a big score for the American people, being able to remove two Congress people out of Colorado who violated their oath of office. And Victor now, by the way, Gurin, one of the congresswomen, she actually sued him three times during the petition, costing $40,000 in attorney fees and defending himself. So he's out $45,500 is what he's out of pocket right now, plus I think 6 months worth of work to put a stop to this. And he indicated to me the other night, the National Rifle Association has volunteered to help try to recover part of his costs. But those in the state of Colorado, you know, he's done some great work. I'm asking people to kick in, you know, a couple bucks there that live there to help defer those fees out of pocket. He's done you a big favor there, as well as the fact that, you know, kick in with Glenn. All they're asking for is to recover their funds because of what they're doing. But you can pick up that boilerplate. You can pick up that video on recallpetitions.com and get out there and start recalling these people out of Congress and Senate, because this is the problem. 9 out of 10 of them up there are controlled by this Illuminati bunch. They've got them blackmailed. They've got them compromised. If you look at their financial statements, they own corporations and trusts that are in their wives and children's name that they're in control of. In those trusts are corporations, and those corporations own in apartment complexes where they've just handed them corporations and said, here's your ownership, here's your bribe, here's your payoff. And this is the way they've done it. And if you look at APEC, the American-Israeli Pact, and the amount of money which they pumped into that. If you look at the corporate directors of APEC, which is Leonard Bellman's stooges, Larry Mizell, and Norman Brownstein, the attorney, they're on the board of directors of not only APEC, Simon Wiesenthal Center, the ADL, Philip Wynn, that's on the board of directors of MDC Holdings Denver. He's also the HUD scamster that never went to jail, that Bill Clinton gave him the presidential pardon. It's in my story, Rods or Us, at MDC. He's on the board of directors of the ADL. The ADL, the JDL, Simon Wiesenthal Center, APAC, are all espionage and the cell out of Denver they've created, the counterintelligence cell they call it, are all espionage operations against the United States of America. These are the same people that dropped the towers on 9/11. And I'll put this out. There was an intelligence, 16 intelligence agencies report. 16 different intelligence agencies of the United States of America put their final report and findings out last October. And in those findings, they said that Leonard Milman, Larry Mizell, Bibi Netanyahu, Daddy Bush, George W. Bush, Neil Bush, Jeb Bush, the entire Bush family, and others have been involved in not only the Oklahoma City bombing, the 9-1-1 attack on America, have committed all kinds of treason and sedition in stealing nuclear arms, nuclear material that's supplied through Israel from the U.S., through Israel that supplied and gave to Korea and other countries that now have nuclear capabilities, and that they've robbed and looted the country for trillions upon trillions of dollars, and that these people go back to the Jonathan Pollard espionage spy ring that Jonathan Pollard is in jail.
Well, let's talk about that with Jonathan Powers after the break. Stu Webb is my guest, ladies and gentlemen. Would you like to take callers after the break, Stu? I think we will, yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, call in 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. We'll be right back.
Well, there's only one thing I need.
The flight to New Zealand by plane from New York City takes 22 hours. So from the Twin Cities, 19. I mean, I fly all the time in 6 hours.
Ladies
on a plane,
and gentlemen, it's the final segment here with Stu Webb from StuWebb.com. That's Webb with two B's, by the way. And we're having some major technical difficulties, and I think this happens a lot. You were talking just before we went to break. About some John Powered or something of that nature? I forget.
It was Jonathan Pollard, P-O-L-L-A-R-D, Googling. It's a huge spy ring, Israeli Mossad spy ring that was, he was working inside the government, inside the Naval Department, and he was actually transferring secrets to the Israelis at the time about the U.S., the whole Middle East situation, and Russia, and so on and so forth in South Africa. They've got him locked up forever. And U.S. government, I mean the government of Israel, Bibi Netanyahu and Leonard Milman and Larry Mizell and Daddy Bush that control Bibi Netanyahu and control the Israeli government, APEC, are constantly trying to get this guy out of jail because he still holds secrets they want, okay? And there's more to Jonathan Pollard, but this is where the spy ring goes back. This is where this espionage goes back. And this is one of the reasons, you know, I was saying that they want to fulfill, you know, end time prophecies. If you look at the book of Ezekiel, chapter 38, 39 in your Bible in the Old Testament, that's one prophecy that's got to be fulfilled in end times. That's really the pre-Armageddon battle that they're trying to create in the Middle East right now. And what they're, I mean, it's serious. And I had a U.S. general tell me 2 weeks ago, this was 2.5 weeks ago, this was before Russian Putin stepped in and put a stop to this, proving to the U.N. that Obama and Kerry are trying to lie us into a war in behalf of this Illuminati. You know, a U.S. general told me that the birds are going to fly, meaning that the cruise missiles were going to hit first Syria. They would hit Iran. They would then retaliate against Israel, retaliate against other countries. Russia and China would jump in because they've said if you touch Iran or Syria, we're going to nuke America. I mean, they've made that quite clear. And people have to understand this. And this is World War III. And in Ezekiel, it says it wipes out a third of the planet when this war happens. A third of the population. They're trying to fulfill. These are evil people. These are aliens. They hate us, human beings. They are the fallen angels. They hate us. We have power and authority over them. As I said, you know, people have been snatched by them, scream, help Jesus, or I cast you out, I rebuke you in the name of Christ. Boom, they find themselves back on planet Earth on their feet. So, you know, there's a war that we're all up against. But the problem is it's so infiltrated now in our governments that we're going to have to understand we must, those that answer to them, we must remove them to regain power. And the key to removing them is the recall. You did not vote them in. They control the voting machines and the numbers through satellites, electronic satellites. They control who gets in. It's time that we start removing these people. And it's easy to do. We can do it in the masses. And it's time that the masses start standing up against them. Nobody wants war. We don't want this situation to occur. And it's because they couldn't pull off the war. They know they're collapsing. As Dr. Preston James says, here in the next couple of years, they have such an infighting going on inside our government right now. Good guys beginning to stand up against them, and other governments worldwide recognizing what the problem is and standing up that they've robbed and looted so bad that, you know, they've got this battle happening, and they realize that they're not going to survive, their control any longer. Unless they get rid of a huge block of population. It was recently told to me by someone inside U.S. intelligence that Daddy Bush himself said, F the American people. If they think they're going to come against me, he says, I'll just gas them all. And he says, gas all of America. And he said, then I'll send people in with suits to go collect the gold off their fingers and out of their jewelry boxes. And he said, I'll be the richest on the planet. Well, you know, $60 to $100 trillion this guy is worth. Milman's worth $60 to $100 trillion himself. Mizell, I've gotten reports that he's worth about $30 trillion. He's the lower end of the totem pole. The others that I mentioned earlier, Kissinger, Rockefeller, and Rothschild, and the different ones, they're all in that estimated net worth of $60 to $100 trillion. I mean, how much more do they have to have? And, you know, stealing $5,000 trillion. From the people in the past 13 years and the governments through these artificial mortgages that were derivatized. I've asked, where did all that money go? They could have bought up the economies of the world three times over. And everybody keeps saying, Stu, it went off planet. Well, what do you mean off planet? Well, they're building this huge base on the moon, and they're building a huge base on Mars, the aliens are. So they're using that money to build these huge internal bases inside the planets themselves. So, and think about all the slave labor of the humans that are snatched, that are up there now being used as slave labor for their new agenda. So they don't care about planet Earth. I mean, you know, they're just getting their little flying saucer when the nukes fly, and they'll sit back and wait. Wait it out for a period of time.
I don't understand that because it's like, bro, Mars sucks. All right, the moon sucks. It's cold. There's bugger all water that, you know, you can't go fishing. There's frack all bugs and birds and the, you know, the natural beauty of the Earth is just beyond compare within this solar system at the very least. And everything else just looks like crap by comparison. And they're going to sacrifice everything on here because they're so freaking psychotic that they just want control, and so they want to start afresh somewhere else with their new slave army. I mean, ugh.
It's because of the possession. You have to go back to the possession. And I'm convinced and been told that they are possessed. And this is the problem, this alien possession, which is the problem.
Have you noticed how we talk about possession, but what do we call the things that we own? Possessions.
Oh, possessions.
Yeah. Right? And it reminds me of a line from Fight Club, is that the things you own end up owning you. And there's something you said there about Daddy Bush, you know, saying, I'll be the richest motherfucker on Earth or whatever. I'll just gas everybody and take the gold out of their frickin' teeth. And, you know, that's precisely what's going on here, isn't it? You get so much wealth, so much power, that the wealth and the power is the thing that controls you. You don't control any of it.
That's what it is. It is greed and power that puts them into that position, because they just want more and more and more. I mean, I understand, you know, making money. I was a builder before my loans were cut off, you know, new homes when I was 22 years of age. I married that girl at 25, Leonard Melman's daughter. You know, my loans get cut off. Then I'm back into remodeling, you know, and doing stuff. You know, I wanted to be a millionaire. I wanted to retire by the time I'm 40 years of age, you know, having other people run a company for me. I'd like to have been building 100 houses a year, but that isn't obviously the direction that God wanted me to go. I know that I'm being used. He's using you. He's using many people, Benny, to get the word out today and try to, you know, salvage the human race, because he doesn't want the race destroyed. I mean, you know, we're all his children. You know, we have two fathers. One's an earthly father and one's a heavenly father, and we have to understand that. A lot of people don't believe in God, and there's the problem. And I hear all this garbage out here, you know, about there's good aliens and there's bad aliens. No, There's no good aliens whatsoever. This is the enemy of the human race, period. And, you know, it takes a human for them to occupy, to possess, in order to take control and to do these things. I mean, if people read this one story I have up here on Veterans Today, it gives a, and on my website on stuweb.com, it says, Daddy Bush, the Illuminati Wizard of Oz. I think it gives a good explanation of what we're talking about. But, you know, they need to look at further, you know, Benny. I give credit to the veterans today because many of them are military intelligence, okay? And, you know, they had asked me to be a columnist. I've known several of them for a number of years. And just like Dr. Preston James, I've known about him since 1990. We have several sources that were mutual, and I was given his number clear back in 1990, and he was given mine, but we never really touched base, should we say, hooked up until 6 months ago or so. But, you know, Veterans Today has become the number one alternative media site in the entire world now because of the truth that is being pumped out there. And I recommend everybody go there besides coming to my website because I'm pumping a lot of stuff out that is not up on that site. And the other individuals at Rightform, they have their websites as well. But, you know, collectively, it has become the number one site. And matter of fact, I was told the other day, and this was after I did some carpet runs, I call it carpet runs, and that's when you take a link and you go out there and you post all over the internet on Facebook, Twitter, and all the other social medias and get the word out about a particular thing. I was doing it to try to stop the war, and it bundled up a whole bunch of links and stuff, proof and evidence of the sarin gas attacks by the rebels themselves, showing them themselves. And we're veterans today. Gordon Duff, I give him credit. It was almost like he more or less stopped the war. We're putting stepped in from the evidence that was presented. And, you know, Gordon had said to me, he says, Stu, something's going on here. All of a sudden, we've, besides being the number one alternative, all of a sudden we're getting 1.2 million to 2 million hits per hour of people coming to the site. And I said, well, it's probably because of these carpet runs and myself and several people that do it with me. I got to give credit to those people without mentioning their names. I ask them to carpet run some and they take it out there and they'll put it in 100 different places on the internet and spreads, and that's what it's about. It's like firing up, and that's what other people should be doing. But, you know, they're up to 2 million hits per hour now, which is tremendous. And so the word's getting out. This is mainstream media. Veterans Today is. It is a governmental website, so you can kind of see the government's turning against the government within. And, you know, this is...
Well, it's like the real government is turning up against the shadow government, in other words, at Veterans Today. All right. Well, Stu, we've come to the end of the program today, unfortunately. It's been a rip-roaring ride, and I thank you very much for your service to humanity and your exposure of scumbaggery. It's been very a nice pleasure. You're a very good man. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. And, of course, please go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com for the archives of this particular show here. The audio archives will be up much quicker than the YouTube archives will, unfortunately. So we'll see you again sometime, folks. Thank you very much.